themselves for a lack of spiritual progress. Can I make a suggestion for us today? Rather than live in regret and all those things that go on, why don't we just repent of what we did last year and move on? It's time to shake off those heavy bands of 2019 and allow 2020 to come in with the force of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're not going to allow those things that happened in the past to do something for us right now. Amen?
Amen.
So, let me go to Proverbs, because I know this is always a famous verse of Scripture, because I want to talk about in this year. And I was asked on New Year's Eve in the service that we had, the time together, our fellowship, if 2020 means something, are people going to be talking about 2020? Because it sounds like vision, right? 2020 vision. So when I think about that, this gentleman asked me on New Year's Eve, I don't see him here today, and he asked me about that. And we were coming back from Oshawa with my sister in the car. She said that her son, Cameron, is going to be speaking about 2020 as well and visioning. I just wonder how many pastors are talking about 2020 vision this morning all around North America, if not all around the world. Because I believe that vision is very important. Well, if you were to go to Proverbs 29, verse 18, King James Version, I always love this. This is where I learned this. This is where you sink your teeth into the very idea of vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Sense reason. If you don't see anything going to happen, you just don't hope for anything. You have no, I'm not expecting nothing else. Nothing will probably happen. Where there is no vision, people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen? Then you go to the New King James Version, where there is no revelation. I think that we need a revelation these days. The people cast off restraint. The revelation keeps us in the fold, and happy is he who keeps the law. I like the New Living Translation. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. The New American Standard Version says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. The New Jerusalem Bible is, where there is no vision, the people get out of hand. Happy are they who keep the law. Think about that for a moment. To have vision means you are expecting something. Right? You agree with me? To have vision means you are expecting something. And the reverse of that is, to have no vision means you expect nothing. You're not looking for anything. So to have vision means you are expecting something. Resolutions. I don't like that word. I can remember many years ago, we talked about that around our kids when they were small. And I think it was Josh that came up and says, I don't want any revolutions. And I thought that was pretty cool. That's about what it is. But you know what? A resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. In other words, you are expecting something radically to change your life because of a decision that you're making or have made in your resolution. So I got a personal kick out of this year when we saw 2020 come along. And that's kind of cool. I like 2020. It sounds neat. What plans God has for us in 2020, for a vision for us. Did you know that 2020 refers to average vision? So I started thinking about that. Does a Christian really want average Christianity? Do you want, you know, you probably remember in school, if you got an average grade, you were around 60 to 65%. That was passing, just barely made it. So when I thought about this, 2020 refers to average vision. Now, if you want above average vision, you would have to go to back 5 years to the year 2015. I should have preached on perfect vision or good vision back in 2015. But 2020 is the sound year of vision. But I just kind of thought about this, and it sounds kind of neat because, you know, when I think about vision, you know, you think of the eye chart and all that. So there's 2020 vision, There's 2015 vision, which is good vision. And then there's 2010 vision, which the eye of the eagle has, which is declared as practically perfect vision. That you can see things from a distance. You can see them sharply. You can see them clearly. And so, can humans achieve 2010 vision? And if you were to ever look on an eye chart, you put your hand over one eye and hand over the other eye, and you're probably not really looking for the small print on the side, but on the side, if they had that, or if the doctor has taken it off, it'll tell you what you have as you go down the lines and look 2200, 2100, 2070, 2050, 2040, 2030, 2025, and that line 8 is 2020 vision. If you have 2200 vision, you are considered legally blind. If that's all you can see is the E at the top of the chart, and you can see that okay, then you are considered legally blind. If you have 2015 vision, you can see a line in the eye chart at 20 feet that the average person can only see when they're 15 feet away. And the goal of every time you go to see the optometrist or ophthalmologist, the goal of is correcting our vision to bring us to average, to 20/20. Now, I don't believe the Holy Spirit is looking when we come to church to bring us to average. I believe that He's trying to achieve something a lot greater in our lives as we come closer and closer to Him. In fact, I think that spiritually speaking, when we come to our vision, He is trying to get us with the scales off our eyes and all those things of blindness and all the things in our life that are polluting our eyesight or our vision, the things that are holding us back. He's trying to get our vision in a deeper respect, maybe even toward the level of 2010 where the eagle is. They say when you reach middle age, anybody here middle age? Thank you, John. When you reach middle age, they say that you may lose your near vision, which results your eyes' lenses become less flexible and becomes harder to change focus from objects that are far away to close objects. They call that presbyopia. And when you get to that place with your eyes, you may need reading glasses or bifocals. Now, short-sightedness, myopia, anybody have that? Okay, myopia, I have it, is an eye condition that causes a person to be able to see things that are close up but have diminished long-range vision, and they say it's the most common of the ailments of our eyes as we go through life. When I go to the optometrist or the ophthalmologist, they speak of eye care. Now, I always talk to the doctors and say, look, you know, these two things that God has created in my head, I would like to hold on to them for as long as I can because they're beautiful things. And between you and me, doctor, I would like to have this work on this so that my eyes continue to focus well and operate good so that I can see the wonderful people in our church and I can see the Word of God and I can see all the things that happen around me because these eyes that we take for granted so often in our lives are beautiful things, the gifts that God has given us in our senses. Amen? So thank God for your eyes. You know, eyesight, they say, is a sense that we rely upon the most. We live in a world that requires our eyes to routinely stare at small type and images on cell phones and computer screens and televisions. And it's important to make sure that we take steps to improve our eyesight. Poor eyesight diminishes in the quality of life and could lead to expensive surgeries and even partial blindness. Now, they say, my mom used to tell me when I was a kid, no, did you have this? Yeah. Eat your carrots. Yeah. Carrots are good for the eyes. Did you ever get that? Yeah. I don't know if that was kind of like the mothers got aside and they all said, what do we tell our kids so they all eat our carrots? Tell them it'll improve their eyesight. So maybe that's what they did. I don't know. But anyway, they've proven that beta carotene and vitamins A, D, and C all are good for the eyes. And so, you know, when I started thinking about that, when you go to the optometrist, they tell you, make sure you're getting the proper diet and vitamins to keep your eyes strong. And it's the same as we would feel about our spiritual appetite with good vitamins of the Word of God. Just take your daily dose every day. Get as much as you can. And I believe the more we get into the Word of God, we'll expand our vision. Amen?
Amen.
They tell us in the optometrist world to make sure that we exercise our eyes. Now, when I first heard that, I said, you mean I've got to get on a treadmill? But, that the eyes go around and around and around, or like the little hamsters that go around and the fingers, like, you know, I don't know how to do that. And they said, exercise your eyes. He said, you know, take your finger and look at it all around and bring it down, keep your head steady and go around where you come into a little spiral like that. Isn't that wonderful? Go ahead and try that if you'd like. Nobody's going to try it, okay. Another thing they say to try for exercising your eyes is to put your finger in front of your face 6 or 8 inches away, look at it, and look at something far away. Do it again, look at something far away. That's exercising your eyes. So it's getting old. Now, spiritually, you and I need to exercise as well, right? You need to exercise your faith. We need to exercise our faith every time we are awake in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do something. We need to get involved. We need to commit. We need to dedicate. Now, they also tell us that you need to get enough sleep. Those eyes, very precious as they are, they need to get rest. They need to get relaxation. Did you know that we need relaxation in the spirit as well? How many times do you read about Jesus extracting himself from the crowds, getting away, and just talking to the Father and taking all his eyes off everything that was going on? And so they tell us in the real world of the eyes, you need to get enough sleep. You need to just relax every now and then, get those 40 winks or take a nap, whatever it is. But spiritually, we need to rejuvenate our vision as well, our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Jesus got away from the crowds to hear what the Father was speaking. We need to get away from all the activity and the busyness of life and just hear what the Father is saying to us. Amen? So they tell us when we have a problem with our eyes that we can get correct vision. We can get an eye exam. You can get corrective lenses. You can get surgery on your eyes, laser surgery, all those things. Physical eyesight, I believe, is very, very important. Do you agree with me? I love these eyes. I pray that they will keep going for as long as I'm here. Amen? Because when that trump of God sounds, I want to see everything going on. I want to make sure. My world, my Jesus. I want to make sure I can see it in those moments as well. So, you know, physical eyesight is very important, but even more important to our spiritual health is our spiritual eyesight. Our spiritual eyesight. Now, today, I want to prepare us for 2020, or until Jesus comes, should he come this year. Because I really believe that when you get into spiritual eyesight, you are getting into the realm of faith. Into the realm of faith. You're getting into a higher plane. See, Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us that our eyes will do us no good. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. When it comes to faith, our eyesight won't help us. In fact, it may deter us. It may hinder our faith if we go by our eyesight. Well, I didn't see it. Well, it's not happening. We kind of look around, and with those eyes that start seeing the things that aren't happening start judging our God and say, well, maybe he can. Maybe he won't. Maybe he just won't listen to me when I pray. We have all these things because of those eyes sometimes deter us. See, 2020, when you look at those very numbers, it deals with vision. It deals with a spiritual reality all around us. When I look at those numbers, whether it's past, present, future, it all helps. And we learn by our mistakes. Right? You learn by your mistakes? Maybe you've made some today. You read in the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, how often God tested his people and was taking them through to see how they would make it, to see how they would overcome, to see how they would grab onto faith in God. And so we learn by our mistakes, and all the tests that God gives us in life are to make us more profound and proficient in the ability to deal with spiritual things in life. As you get tested, you become more proficient in the spiritual things in your life. Do you agree with that? Now, did you guys eat too much over the last few days? You seem very docile, laid back this morning. Like, you look as if you like to be in a lazy boy chair or something. Hallelujah. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I reach forward to those things which are ahead, things which are ahead. You know, the past helps us to learn in our present day and prepares us for what lies ahead in our future. So what happened in our past, good or bad? Well, you had great victories in 2020. When you overcame or you blew it or anything else, you learn from it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got some victories last year, you could say, wow, God did it before. He will do it again. And so you have that feeling that there's going to be more victories. And if you blew it last year in an area of your life, you say, well, God helped me to overcome that so I can have the victories. And so as you look in the past, you realize that those past tests and those things are helping us today to face our tomorrows. That's what Paul was trying to get across in Philippians chapter 3. And I really believe that Paul had this idea that what was behind him, good or bad, they're done. So really, in a sense, stop crying over spilled milk. That's our up-to-date cliche of it all. Or even spiritual victories. What was important for Paul right now in his present state was to reach forward. To reach forward. To claim victory over what lies ahead. To prepare for what lies ahead down the road. Amen? God has a future and a plans for us. Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. You know it. It's in. That's right. And if that be true, and it is, he wants those plans activated. You getting this? And employed in our lives. And of course, it's up to each and every one of us to stop living in our yesterdays and strive for what the future holds for each and every one of us. You know, if we continue in our yesterdays, we'll never find out the plans that God has for us. If we always live in the crying over spilled milk, we'll never know the plans that God has for us in the future. Amen?
Yeah.
Betty and I spent some time with our family last weekend. I was telling people that we stepped in. In fact, while you were having church, we were running around in our pajamas. No, just kidding. See, our son is in a big church, Glad Tidings, in Burlington, and he is the pastor of the satellite work out in Aldershot. And so they closed the satellite work for last Sunday, and they just went with the main campus, the big church. They have three services on a Sunday morning, and the senior pastor was on holiday, so our son was in charge of those three services, but fortunately they eliminated one of the services, only had two services. So when we got down there, I said to Jeremy, our son, that, so you're preaching on Sunday morning? He says, yes, I'm preaching. Oh, that's good. Nice to come and hear you preach. You know, Mom and Dad love to hear the son preach. So anyway, I said, what time are the two services? He said, well, the first one's at 9:30 and the second one's at 11:30. You know which one I picked? 11:30, yes. I said, Jeremy, you go off and preach the first service and you get really sharp. That way you won't need your notes in the second service. Amen. And we all hear it even better in the second service. But you know, we had a wonderful time with our family, our son and daughter-in-law, and also Josh and Miranda, our other son and daughter-in-law, came down from Derry. And we had a great time. Family setting. We played darts. Me and my two boys, we played darts. My oldest son, Jeremy, won them, but you know, I really threw them off because when we were throwing the darts, my second shot stuck in the back of the other dart. Like, you know, see? No, man, still pretty good. You know, never tried that or never did it again, you know, whatever, but that was pretty awesome. The two boys looked at me like I've been practicing or something. But you know, when you spend time with your boys, you start hearing what's going on in their life. Yeah, and I don't get to hear as much. We get phone calls and all that. But spent some time with Jeremy, especially, who's a pastor. And he's been in ministry since 2003. And just turned 41 on January 2nd. And he said, you know, Dad, it's getting more difficult to be in ministry. I said, tell me about it. Tell me about it. It's getting more difficult as we are in ministry. we have a changing society, which is greatly affecting church life. The society around us is dictating to us in the church, and so often we allow society to dictate to our individual lives, and we kind of fall off of them. Like every time I read in the news about how somebody, like even the United Methodist Church down the States, is splitting, but so many people in the congregation have sided with the rules on homosexuality and all that. And it's sad to see that these things in society are splitting the church. You know, I began to talk to him, and he says, you know, Dad, somebody just moved away from our church. They were a great couple. And I think he was a worship leader on the board, and as they worked. And you know, when somebody of that potential leaves your church, it leaves a big hole in the church and kind of discouraged him and got him going. So I encouraged him as to what God has ahead for him. I said, you can't look at that, Jeremy. Like, you know, people come and go in the churches. People move away. People do these things. And it's the way, you know, human life goes on. And it's easy to allow those things in the church to get you down and discouraged without focusing on what's ahead. And I said, you know, you've got to look and see what God has in store for you in the days ahead. You know, I believe that we're living in those different days, but yet the same fight exists. Even though ministry is sometimes called, and they call it a thankless job with all the battles of pastors' faces, I thank God for good churches like Cornwall Pentecostal Church. Amen. Over the years, I as a pastor, now I don't want you to feel sorry for me in any way this morning. I'm just sharing this with you because I'm going to bare my heart a little bit this morning, okay? Over the years, I've been called names because of the position I'm in as pastor. Now, no more old names. That's good. Remember one lady called me very green. Oh, you're still green. You don't know what you're doing. Again, I know who that is. You're so inexperienced that, you know, when you don't measure up to somebody's level, that they have these tags for you, that they can call you and address you. And you know, I don't know how Jeremy is facing some of those things, but I'm sure that he's getting through all those things. But, you know, as you go through some of these things that you realize as we rub shoulders together, we're people. You know, we sometimes lose the grain, goes against the grain. We have the characteristic flaws that some people don't like, you know. And I'm so glad that the Bible tells us to bear with one another, because sometimes we do a lot more bearing with others than we do with some people, right?
Yes.
Amen. But as you think about all that, you're left wondering if at times, for me as a pastor, did I make the right choice to be called green and nasty names and all those things and the things that people call me and all that? You're left with all the wondering, did I really make the right choice, Betty? Do we hit the mark on this? Do we really hear from God with all the battles? And I look at it all. I've never, with all those things that have gone in our life, never stepped away from it, because I just kept saying, Jesus, you've got something there. You've got something down the road. You've got to take us somewhere. I can recall when I first came to Cornwall, in fact, it was 11 years ago, 2009, a person told me that they did not like me. I said, well, welcome to the church. I didn't come here to have everybody like me. I came here to be your pastor. Now, I may say some things that get you a little upset at times, but I'm speaking the word of God. And this person had no beans about telling me that. I just don't like you. Well, thank you. It's the way I dress. I started going through it, analyzing, you know, I don't feel like me. But this person is no longer in our church, and I figured it would happen very shortly. But even though battles are raised, and there's only one way to overcome, and the Word tells us there's a way to overcome in every battle that you and I will face, and it's found in the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. I hang on to scriptures like that as we go through all the battles of life, because much truth to that verse is that the typical of the one who's sold out, committed to Jesus, will hang on in the battles, will not turn back, will always press in and keep going, just like Paul is telling us. Forget about the stuff that's behind. Forget about what somebody said to you. Forget about what they did last week. Forget about those things that are behind. Press on and move in the Lord Jesus Christ with the strength that you want to have in your life. That's the way to have it. See, my prayer for 2020, my vision is to somehow let words arise from my lips and from this pulpit that will encourage and strengthen each and every one of us in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I say that, I pray that I would be able to convince and encourage us to go deeper. Remember that? Deeper. Encourage us to go deeper, greater in our commitment. More enabled for a stronger dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ, that when someone says something to you, did you know that we communicate with each other? When somebody says something to you that you don't like, you will shake it off in your faith, you will stand strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because you faced it the proper way, that will enable you. You will be enabled. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because that's what happens in life. Think of that. You got hurt by somebody saying something mean to you. But think of it this way. You got enabled. You got enabled to be able to face the next one and the next one and the next one. God is enabling you. Enabling you to face all those battles in your life, and you're making it through each and every one of them. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
See, when things go wrong, both in the church and outside the church, your eyes should be on Jesus.
Amen.
When troubled waters come your way, and I love that, what we heard this morning that Diane read for us, when the waters come in. When troubled waters come your way, you allow Holy Spirit to take you through that all to the next level of your faith. This church or any church will only grow and be strengthened by people who repel all the attacks. Just get it off. Just push it aside. They'll be able to repel all those attacks, and they'll be enabled, and you will grow, and you will continue, and you will ask for a deeper walk. You know, have you ever said to God, why don't you do something? You ever said that? Come on, God, do something. We sometimes get frustrated in our life, don't we? And then we stand idly by waiting for him to do something, hoping that he'll do it. God, do something, do something, do something. Yeah. Is there a problem with God?
No.
No problem with God. No, but I think when we get to that place, we know where the problem lies. It's with us, isn't it?
Amen.
We start saying, God, do something. And he says, you know, I've been waiting for you to do it. I'm waiting for you. Thank God that he loves us and forgives us. And for all the stuff that we do in life, thank God he lets us off the hook.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our unrighteousness and gives us that walk and strength and power. I love this church, you know, and I just want to see it grow. I have a vision for this church. When I see those pictures on December 25th and from last Friday night, I say, God, you're bringing them from all around the world just to be here in Cornwall. And what an opportunity for us to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked to Al yesterday, and he said it was so wonderful and amazing that the love just oozed on Friday night in the great place where you guys were. And that's what I want to hear. You know, there's so much frustration out there in the world. There's so much hatred. There's so much racism. There's so much anger. So much bitterness and everything else. This is a safe place. When you come in here, this is where love dwells. This is where the love of Jesus Christ is. And even in our love, sometimes we get embittered and go through battles and we take it out on one another. But that's okay. We're all getting enabled, right? Getting enabled. Now, as I look at our church, I'm so proud of our church. But did you know that we are in need of workers? Now, watch out. This is the place you may want to plug your ears. Okay? This message. Okay? We're in need of workers. We need people in many areas of ministry in the church. Now, we need people on the soundboard at the back. Not too many people want to go back and sit there. I thank God for Serge and for Laura, Flora, that are back there doing a great job. And see Amy back there, too. So I'm becoming a fan of her. But, you know, they need to come out and sit here, too. I'd like to see them come and relax in the service and enjoy the service, too. So we need people in the sound area. I'd love to see more people committed in that area and alleviate those who are working there. I'd love to see more people on the platform and worship and music. In fact, I would love to see more worship teams. You know, we were blessed down when we were pastoring in Bathurst, New Brunswick. We had 4 worship teams. It was great. We had a wonderful time. You know, Miles is looking for people in Drama Truth to come and just say, you know, I've never acted before, but give me a try at it. You know, he's looking for people. You know, the nursery, people come in this church with small children, and they ask us, do you have a nursery? Say, yeah, the room is back there, but it's not manned. So, do you think that keeps them around? We need people in a nursery to step up and say, look, I could do that. You know, if somebody comes in off the street and they have a couple of small kids, let's look after the nursery. Amen? The nursery is in need. There are many areas of need in our church, and this is a time to help out, not drop out or relax. Amen? Favorite words that a pastor loves to hear. What can I do to help? Write them down. Memorize them. I always remember Silas Matchett from down east. I don't know if you folks ever remember Silas Matchett, the evangelist. What a wonderful salvation he had many years ago. And when he got saved, he went into the church and he told the pastor, what can I do? What can I do? Anything. And he went looking around the church for things that he could do. He got one of those scrapers on, like you do on the wall or whatever. He got a scraper, and he went on his back and went under every pew in the church, taking all the bubble gum and the gum off and everything else. He wanted to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. That man, because of his humility that he did for doing that, God raised him up into evangelist ministry, and what a powerful ministry he's had. His son now is a pastor down in Rishabhattu, I think it is, I'm not sure. But, you know, it's, what can I do to help? Those should be the words of every person. As I look in our church, I know that sometimes, you know, your physical limitations and all those things that we go through as we grow older and all that, but I still believe there's people out there who are built strong as an ox that can do some work for Jesus. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to offer up and get working. And whatever comes your way, you're going to be available. And God's going to do it. With all that said, a little bearing of my heart, a glimpse of vision for this church. I want to prepare us for what's coming in 2020. Could I do that with you? I mean, you thought probably I was getting to a conclusion, didn't you? That's the introduction. Okay? Now, sometimes, like I said, we need glasses, vision, you know, assistance to us. I see a lot of people with glasses in our church, and so they assist you to where you can get to 20/20 vision, or even better, perhaps. Vision to help you with those bifocals or reading glasses so you can read the Word of God and all that. So let me give you 1, 2, 3 things today on this January 5th of 2020 that could help you in your vision assistance, okay? Now, over the last couple weeks, I believe that these 3 words God dropped into my heart, which are definitely going to help us in our vision, okay? Now, activation. As I just said, that we need to be working for the Lord Jesus Christ. The word active is characterized by action rather than contemplation or thinking about doing it. It's action, or not even speculation. It's action or movement. There's a need of activation of people wanting, loving to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, the church is a great place to work. It's a wonderful place to do something for Jesus Christ. Amen? One day, you and I will stand before Jesus. And he'll look at us, say, how'd it go down there? Well, I have my favorite pew. I made sure I was at church every week. I sat there and listened attentively. I was always there. They could count on me. They could set their watch by me. But what did you do? What did you do? How many souls did you win? How many times did you witness? How many classes did you look after? How many times did you help that person out, drive home, this, that, and everything else? And you know, the list could go on and on. I don't know if it's a good idea to say to the one who's saved and to give all those excuses to Jesus one day when we stand before him. No, it's not going to be a pretty picture. We need to get back to the urgency of the hour. This is an urgent day and hour. Do you believe that? We need to get back to the place of seeing the value of a lost soul. The value of a lost soul, and have that passion for that lost person, to pray for them. We need to revisit the scripture of Jesus pleading with them that the harvest field is already white for harvest, and it's time. Now is the time. Don't say 4 months. It's now. It's now. Jesus got across that to him. I looked in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that wonderful? That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Wow. You know, I really believe, and I don't want to belabor this, but I believe there's a great need in churches all around to have activation. You know, I was thrilled when I was in Community Pentecostal Church in Orleans many years ago that, you know, I was a Sunday school superintendent, and we had so many classes, and I had a teacher, and I had assistant teacher, so the teacher would go three Sundays of the month. The assistant would come in and give them a Sunday off, and they would go through the year like that. And I had about 50 people waiting who wanted to be Sunday school teachers. Wow, isn't that great? Somebody dropped in, forbidden thought, or left the city or whatever. Like, next one in line, like you call them out, and they would be glad to step in. And every area of the church, we had people waiting in the wings to do the work. But when you get into a smaller church, like we told our son in Aldershot, and like I feel like we have here, we don't have people waiting in the wings. And so we need to have people who are activated ready for the willingness of God and to do those things. Another thing that you and I need is not only to move and be activated, but we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit this year in 2020. Do you believe that? As I said a couple of weeks ago, that when we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ being born, that he was called Christ when he's called Lord. The anointing in the definition is to smear or rub with oil or an oily substance. Now, I really believe it's a great need in the church, not that we go around smearing each other with an oily substance, but I think that in the Holy Spirit, you and I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, as I look through the Bible, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and tell you about all the references there are to the Holy Spirit. What he did. I mean, just go back to the Old Testament. You'll find out the anointing of the Holy Spirit gave the ability to build, to work in the tabernacle, to do those things that perhaps you couldn't have done in the natural, but the Holy Spirit came upon them so they could work in the tabernacle and build the tabernacle for the glory of the Lord. The anointing of the Holy Spirit gives us ability to take on giants. I mean, David could not have done that by himself. You can take a stone, you can wing it as often as you want, or take two darts and try to put it into each other for as often as you want. Probably won't happen in this year, but it happened on a fluke for me down in Burlington. But you take stones and you go out and face a great big giant, and if you don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I would say that you should probably do like the rest of the Israelites do it and run, because you probably won't do much good. But when David got up and said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, the anointing was all over him, and that stone was directed right towards the forehead of that giant Goliath, and down he came because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that in 2020, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to take down the giants in our way. Amen? The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows insight into how to deal with problems. You go through the Bible. What do we do? How do we? Let's take it to the Lord. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to direct our paths. You go through and you'll find many times the Holy Spirit and that anointing gave answers. The anointing of the Holy Spirit gives dreams and interpretations of dreams. The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows our spiritual eyes to be open to give us direction in the flow of where He wants to take us. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will do that. The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows us not only to read about the day of Pentecost, but to enjoy the influence and the power and the dunamis of the day of Pentecost that is still available for you and I today in 2020. Isn't that amazing that we can have Pentecost today on January 2020? Isn't that amazing? The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows us to not only read about Pentecost, but to enjoy it. The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows us to open up to the giftings of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows fruit to grow in our lives, and that people would see Christ in us, and that people in and outside of the church will say, "What's going on with you? Because you are different." The Holy Spirit reminds us and tells us that the lost are all around us. The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows us to win in battles of the enemy, because we have the armor of God. We've got the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Amen? See, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will break the bonds, break the yoke, break those certain things that are trying to hold us back, break all those excuses, break all those inhibitions, break all that timidness, break all those things that make us powerful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that here I stand as a pastor, and I could never stand up in front of my class in high school and say anything. My knees would be knocking. I would make all excuses. I remember when I was around 18 years old, I joined the militia in Oshawa. And we had to stand up in front of all the troops at times and give to them something about it, you know, what the armed forces do. My sergeant told me one time, he says, "Bates, I want you to get up next week and I want you to tell them about camouflaging. How when we go to different areas, what kind of camouflage you use?" Me? And I remember, it came the day when I was supposed to be out to the armories in Oshawa. I don't know if Bruce and Grace, you remember the armories is right down Central Street, down near Bond and King. I was supposed to be there. I looked at my mom and I said, "Mom, I feel sick. Could you call the sergeant? I don't know, I can't make it." And so I got out of it. But then the next week when we all went there, I thought, you know, we're moving on to the next topic. And it's, "Oh, here's Bates, he's here." And I was so ill-prepared, and I stood up there in front of everybody else, and terrible, I couldn't speak. And then when Betty and I were married, we used to go and do singing. Remember where I stood? Betty would be up the front, and I'd stand behind her with my guitar. Go ahead. I realized something was going on in my life. What's going on? I'm hiding. I'm scared. I'm a scaredy cat for Jesus. Like, what's going on? And I thought, this can't go on. So I asked Betty one night, "You're lying in bed." And she had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, "Betty, I need something to change." She reached across with a hand, placed it on my forehead. I just lifted my hands in bed, and I began to pray in tongues, filled with the Holy Spirit, and just life changed. Yeah. It was not soon after when I was called to the ministry to be a Sunday school superintendent in Orleans, and then to be called into the ministry. I tell you, I only stand here because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I only bring to you the Word of God because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you will be amazed if you will only stand up for Jesus and say, "God, I don't want to be a scaredy cat anymore. I want to be somebody for you," and step out and declare that Jesus is Lord and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit in 2020. We need that. Get a vision for it. Get a vision for it and work on it. Do those things in your life. Something else we need to have is our atmosphere. Everybody knows what atmosphere is. I'm not talking about all around the surface of the world. We look up and say, "Oh, look at the atmosphere. Look what's up there. See the birds." All those. We look up at the atmosphere. Well, atmosphere, if you look into the definition, it says closely connected to the anointing is this atmosphere. And it's the air of locality, it's a surrounding influence or environment, it's an atmosphere. Like, I looked at some of the definitions, you can be in an atmosphere of hostility. Anybody ever been there? Where the air is so thick you could, right, you all know what I'm talking about. know what? As a pastor, I'm not able, if I'm not able to discern the atmosphere around me, then what have I got? I need to know what's going on around me. I need to know what's happening in my sphere, my atmosphere of things. When somebody comes towards me, I want to be able to feel if they're going through some tensions or family problems or whatever. Like a lot of times, we can feel things. We were sitting in Starbucks yesterday morning, and I looked out the window, and a girl was coming along. I said, my heart just beat. She's in trouble. She's in trouble. And she came walking in and into Starbucks and walking around. She didn't go to the counter to order anything. And there's a gentleman sitting over by the window, and she went over by the window and started, I don't know if she was asking for money or whatever it was, but she started talking. All of a sudden, the manager came out and asked her to leave, and she started yelling and getting very bitter and swearing and cussing at him and yelling, and he told her to get out of the store. And next thing you know, he was on his cell phone calling the police, and it was a bad scene with this young lady. And I looked at that, and I thought, God, I just want to know what the atmosphere is. Because we're living in a troubled world.
Yeah.
I think people just, Eddie and I just fell for that young lady that we saw. But God allows us to be in actual control of our atmosphere. You believe that? When somebody gives me a piece of their mind, I can say, well, you think that, eh? Well, let me give you a piece of my mind. See, I just control my atmosphere. I blew it. So I think that you and I need to be able to control our atmosphere a little better, because you see, when someone comes along and does those things to us, we have to be able to come to the place of saying, you know, I want to allow God to move here. I allow God to move in this situation, because obviously this person is going through a rough circumstance. I really love the Our Daily Bread this morning. I don't know how many read it, but it was really good. It talked about a light on it. This city is usually with white walls around the city so that it would stand on a hill and people would see it. And I think that when people see that, you know, nothing seems to ruffle your feathers, nothing seems to get you going, I can say the most worst line towards you and cut you down, everything else doesn't ruffle you. It's because I want to be a hill, side, light, for the glory of God. We call those verses in the Bible, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. You know that one? How about when Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Isn't it more fun to rejoice? You know, when you see people go, I didn't like church today, huh? Oh, they ripped me off of Walmart. Yeah, I don't know about you, but whenever I go somewhere and I pay for whatever it is and I put change in my hand, I don't even look at it. I could care less. I don't want to cause a scene. Hopefully they gave me the right money or whatever. You know, I just... That's the way I am. I want to make sure that my atmosphere, like Betty will tell you, that everywhere we go, I'm always talking to people. I'm trying to make jokes with them, get them to turn around and get them to laugh or smile or whatever. You know, I'm that kind of a person. I want to control the atmosphere where I am in this life. How about you? Do you want to control the atmosphere? You know, James chapter 1 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Does not produce the righteousness of God. In other words, allowing the presence of God to transform every situation and control your atmosphere, every moment, every place where we are, to allow the glory of God to be present. We need that kind of an atmosphere. God, give me an atmosphere this year where people will see Jesus and me. Amen. The atmosphere with Jesus, everywhere he went, was a changed place. It's got to be with us too. How's your atmosphere today? Maybe we need to ask Jesus today to, God, give me vision assistance here in activation, in the wanting, and the atmosphere. So, 2020, are you ready? I'm coming close to the conclusion, and we're going to be going to the communion table in just a few moments. But maybe the Lord has shown you some area of life in which you have compromised spiritually. We don't know what compromise is, right? Often it's the little things that bring us down not the outright sins. It's the small things, the little areas of compromise. It's the little things that ultimately lead or can lead to bigger things and compromise our lives. You know, every day we live, how many know that life is interesting? You could write a book on it. Every one of us could write an individual book on life. It's so interesting. You know what? When you're young, you do crazy things. Right? But as we get older, they say we become more set in our ways. Set in our ways. We begin to like routine. Eddie will tell you this. My habit won't make it. It's my routine. We have habits. We have routines. All those things. And we live by those habits. And you know, kind of, it's, I'm not trying to criticize this, but I'm offering an observation on it all as we get older. It isn't necessarily a bad thing to have all those routines and all those habits that we have. For instance, let's say when you were earlier, younger, when you had those crazy years, if you got into the habit of regular prayer and Bible study and all those things, you got into the habit of never neglecting worship on Sundays, you got into the habit of tithing, and you got into all those good things that you wanted to do and got activated, you knew your atmosphere, you knew the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then those are the things that you should hold on to and build from in your life. I'm glad that if we have those habits, I'm glad that you're set in your ways in those ways, because every day we make hundreds, if not thousands, of near decisions quickly and promptly. And if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap of the flesh. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap of the Spirit. We'll make decisions right now, January. You know, I thought this was kind of cool because resolutions, 2020, I'm going to, you know, I've heard it all before, been there, done that, and everything else. People, I'm going to do this. But it's kind of interesting because if you're an unbeliever out there, they're making all those resolutions. Number one resolution is diet for the world. You've seen the commercials on TV. Everybody's getting so fat that they want to get skinny again. Amen? So they're capitalizing like crazy on people feeling fat. So diet, smoking, drinking, lying, stop speeding, obey road rules, do better at work, be more polite, etc., etc. You come to the believer, like, believer, I'm sure that I should read my Bible more. That's number one for Christians, okay? Pray. And I put in brackets here more because just pray. Some people don't even do that. So, okay, let's put pray more. More of Jesus. Church more. Support my pastor. Take that one off. Get along with others. Love. Love. Tithe. I put rocks over more because just tithe. Some people should tithe more. But if we can get people to tithe, wow. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On January 1st, we sat down with Barry and Hannah, who we work with at Starbucks. We enjoyed that. We walked into Starbucks, we formed such a relationship, you know. We walked in, it was just like church for Barry and Hannah. We walked over, hugged both of them, sat down, they were sitting at a table, they got over to another table, we sat down, had a lot of fun. Discussion. I'm leaving for them one of these days, every year. He's got such a good attitude. His wife just retired. But we were talking about fat. How much we ate over the holidays, or how much weight we gained. And then they started telling us about their daughter, who was somewhere where people go in and they run the triathlon or the muscle man or whatever it's called, where they do all those things. And they were very proud of their daughter, but I think she's 40 or 41 years old, somewhere around that age. But she was almost like that. She was quite heavy. They showed us pictures, as a matter of fact, of their daughter who was very heavy. And she made up her mind that she was going to lose that weight because she felt it was a hindrance to her life. And so she made up her mind, and now she is, they show us a picture of her now, and like muscles on her, and she pardon me, and she's a paramedic. If I ever get sick or whatever happens, I'll need a paramedic, I want her. She's built. She'd probably drag me out of the house or whatever she needs to do. But, you know, we sat there, and Barry and I were both talking about, you know, nothing will ever change in our life unless we make up our mind. Make up our mind. Nothing will ever change. You won't lose weight until you make up your mind and do it. You won't stop smoking unless you make up your mind and do it. You won't do more in the church unless you make up your mind and do it. You won't do things for God unless you make up your mind and do it. And so really, we're creating all those things, the atmosphere, the anointing, the activation, all those things. We're going to make up our mind and do those things for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe that if we make up our mind right now, who knows what the vision for 2020 will be for this church. When I see those pictures of December 25th and Friday night, God, there's so much to be done for you in this day and age. God, help us. Let us make up our mind and do something from Cornwall Pentecostal Church that will bring you glory and see people saved and set free and build this church. And who knows what can happen. Maybe we'll have to build another church because it gets so filled. I don't know. I'm just having a vision. I'm talking about what could happen because I'm expecting. How about you? Because if you never expect, with no vision, you perish. Would you stand with me, please? Worship team, come. I've talked over the years to people, and some people don't come out and tell me outright, but they can pretty well read it in their minds. And, you know, I think I've lost my vision. You know, to lose your physical vision would be terrible. You'd be stumbling and hitting things and everything else. When we lose our spiritual vision, I believe the same thing will happen to us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that in 2020, vision will be erupting in this church. Vision for the glory of God will begin to erupt in such a magnificent and powerful way that even we will stand back in awe of what you're going to do. Open our spiritual eyes. Open our spiritual understanding. Open our spiritualness of us, Lord, and see what you want to do in this year through and in Cornwall Pentecostal Church. And God, I pray that as you told us from your word, and you use your vessel, Paul, because we are told to examine ourselves before we come to this table. And if there's been some compromises in our life, if there's been some hindrances in our walk, if there's been some things that we have shielded and kept aside, Lord, that we're not doing things for you the way we should be, I pray that before we even partake of these emblems, we would say, God, forgive me, help me to move on and do better in 2020. God, I pray this morning, Lord, let there be a release of your Holy Spirit upon us like we've never seen before. Holy Spirit, you're welcome into this communion time. You're welcome to this time of when we partake of the emblems. Holy Spirit, deal with each and every one of us, where we live, what we're doing, and what we can't do, what we are doing. And Lord, help us to be stronger in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you, Lord, as these emblems are passed this morning, I thank you for bless them. Touch them, Lord God. May they be so meaningful to each and every one of us as we partake of these elements. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The board members come forward as we ask you to be seated.
Driving speed.
yes, Jesus. Stand in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, not our own strength, not our own mindset, but to be able to move with the power of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's awesome. Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it. Said, take eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's partake together. So, thank you, Jesus. God, you're so wonderful. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for that redemption power. Thank you for the vision that you've given us. Thank you that you rose from the grave. Thank you that you gave us power. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are with us, guiding us, leading us, activating us, creating the Word of God in our hearts to be the atmosphere that we need to have, that rich anointing that comes with you, Lord. God, I pray for 2020. We take our hands off this year and allow your hands to motivate us. We ask that you would take us into every venture you want us to be in. Every step we take with the caution of saying, Holy Spirit, is this the place? Holy Spirit, we ask that this whole year would be so embedded in you that it almost looks like it's no longer us, but you that live in us. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for 2020. Thank you for vision. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you for getting us ready for all the things that you have in store. We bless you.
Yes.
We praise you.
Yes.
We're excited.
Yes.
And we come expecting for 2020. Help us to watch with spiritual readiness and eyes aware that at any moment you could break through. So God, we love you.
Yes.
We praise you.
Yes.
We lift you up.
Yes.
And may every church service this year, Lord God, be something of an inspiration and encouragement to every person to hold on and to keep fighting and to keep going. Yes. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do in 2020. We give you all the glory and the honor and praise for 2020, even before it unfolds, even before it happens. God, we're praising you for the days ahead. We're praising you for salvations. We're praising you for baptism with the Holy Spirit. We praise you for healings. We praise you, Lord, for bringing families together. We praise you for bringing marriages together. We praise you, God, for bringing prodigal sons and daughters home. We praise you, God, for everything that's going to happen in 2020, because we're expecting those things to happen. So we thank you, God. Go with us now, Lord. Let us have the joy of the Lord in our life as a strength to us. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because we ask all these things in the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. 2020 is yours. Go for it. Thank you.